The Red King said, "Your moon is mine." The Blue King said, "'Tis not." They gathered troops and armor, the finest could be bought. And as they count the days ahead, the bard, she listened well. To the hearts of every man's soul, she could truly tell the tale. Why do we teach our sons and daughters, oh, what their hearts are for, then battle for the moon, march them off to war? The bard had seen such bloodshed in her fine young life. She saw no glory in this war and wanted none to die. She could not fight for peace, you know, that battle's never won. So she asked her god and goddess, what else could be done? Up she drew the mother and down she drew the stars, and in she drew her breath to still her trembling heart. Her gods had gifted her with song, she knew what she must do. As she slept that night upon the field beneath the bright full moon, why do we teach our sons and daughters, oh, what their hearts are for, then battle for the moon and march them off to war? 1,001 men to her left, the same upon her right. She sang that sun up in the sky, she sang with all her might. She sang love lost and love that won, and all the while she played. Not a man did cross her, not a man lived in his blade. And when the sun had settled, and she lay down for the night, she knew there were two angry kings still itching for a fight. The second morning, like the first, she did what she could do. And though her throat was ragged, her voice, it rang out true. Why do we teach our sons and daughters, oh, what their hearts are for, then battle for the moon and march them off to war? High on she sang through waning moon, and as the sky grew dark, her voice was all she had to keep those kings apart. She never saw the men who wept and left the field for home. She only saw those standing as the moon began to grow. High 28 days she sang, the bard could do no more. And with heavy heart and God's release, she left them to their war. She watched each slay the other, till no one stood, not even kings. Her tears ran freely like their blood, I've changed not one damned thing. But one man stood beside her, once warrior, now free. I'll not lift my blade again, lass, nah. You changed the world for me. Why do we teach our sons and daughters, oh, what their hearts are for, then battle for the moon, and march them off to war. Why do we teach our sons and daughters, oh, what their hearts are for? Then battle for the moon. Why do we battle for the moon? Oh, we battle for the moon and march them off to war.
Hi, welcome to the IPMA, International Pagan Music Association series, Who Am I? I am your host, Alfred Wilhoff, and tonight we have Mama Gina Lamonte, who is joining us from Florida to spend a few minutes to tell you a little bit about just who Mama Gina Lamonte is. Thank you, Mama Gina, for joining me this afternoon. I am really excited to get to spend this time with you, and I'm sure that all of the members of IPMA and all of your fans will love what you have to say today. So thank you for joining me and taking time out of your amazingly busy, crazy schedule.
Hey, Alfred, thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm so excited about IPMA. I'm so excited about the awards. I've seen everybody that's nominated, and I just feel like I'm in a wonderland surrounded by incredible artists and incredible community, and I'm really looking forward to everything that's going to happen this year.
Me too, and who knows what the gods have in store, and I'm sure that it will be way bigger than any of us have any intention of it being, but that's kind of the way it works, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so tell us a little bit, Mama Gina, about how you got into music.
Oh my gosh, that's a long, sordid tale. I'll make it brief, I promise. I was pretty much born singing and annoyed my grandmother even as a little girl. I would just make things up randomly and sing in the car. And she used to actually tell me to shut up if I couldn't sing a song all the way from start to finish. That she knew. She was so frustrated with me making noise all the time. I've been singing and playing music as long as I can remember. I got my first guitar when I was in fourth grade and wrote my first song about the Virgin Mary because I was going to an all-girl Catholic school, and I knew my audience, and I knew the nuns would want to hear it. And I'd get up in front of school and sing the songs that I wrote. And you know what? All these years later, I think it's pretty funny. I'm still writing about that goddess. I started singing professionally when I was 16. I've worked with amazing musicians in a ton of bands over the years. And about 5-6 years ago, I started writing the music that's truly, truly near and dear to my heart and led me to this bardic path. When I finally sat down and was still enough, long enough to hear what the gods and the goddesses were saying to me, I realized that this was the time in my life when I could devote to bringing this music to folks in a way that would be entertaining but also touch them on a very deep level, whether it was to make people laugh or to make them cry. And so I'm just tickled pink that I'm getting to do this now at this stage of my life and play the music that I love and to share the stories.
Fantastic, Gina, and we so love your stories. I remember the first time that I heard a song of yours, I was like so amazed at the way that your music touched me personally, and how it obviously touches other people. And you'll kind of laugh at this, but the very first song of yours that I ever heard was Old Snake Woman from your Solitaire album. And I listened to that, and I was like, oh my goodness gracious, who is this person? I have to find more about her. And then it was just weeks later that we actually met. And it was just, it was so amazing. So, yep.
That is so sweet of you to say so. That song was such a transformative chant for me to write, for me to perform. There was actually a couple of years ago, I played it at a very small festival. I'd never met any of these people, and I wasn't even there as a performer. I just went because it was close to where I was, and I said, what a great way to spend 3 days at a pagan festival. And we were around the fire one night, and I pulled my drum out, and I played that, and people were literally weeping when I was done. I was like, I'm sorry I made you cry. And they're saying, no, this is what our group needed, because we need to transform. We need to shed this old skin. And it's that song has a way of working its way into your heart. It really does. And I'm grateful that I got that one.
I'm very grateful, too, because, you know, we've known each other now a few years and spent time together. And it's just really awesome. And that's one of the things that I truly love about you is that you build relationship with people. You don't just come and perform. You're not there to be a performer. You're there to be transformative. And you have touched so many lives that I know personally. And so I'm just really excited and happy that we get to spend even more time together. So there you have it. I promise I won't fanboy on you. I promise.
thank you so much.
What is the best thing to you about being a pagan musician?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know what? There are a couple of things. First and foremost, I get to pursue my spiritual path and my life's purpose all in one fell swoop. I get to be a musician. I get to do what I love, playing music, and this spiritual bardic path that I have chosen in the last few years just meshes so sweetly with that, because I get to be out in community and proud of who I am and what I am, and share that experience and dare people to do the same. And I've got to tell you, there's one other thing that is absolutely stellar about being a pagan musician, and it has nothing to do with me personally or my path. It's just the fact that I get to be part of the larger pagan musical community. We have, I've been playing music my entire life, and I've been in all kinds of situations with road bands and all types of genres, but the pagan music community, the musicians are stellar. They're not just stellar musicians, not just stellar songwriters. They are stellar people. They are stellar souls. And we support each other, and we help each other out. We share information with each other. We lift each other up. And our community, the non-musical community, supports us so well and takes care of us in so many ways. I can't even begin to tell you. This is one of the greatest communities on the planet. And I love that I'm just a tiny part of it, and that I get to enjoy their company.
Wow, that's an awesome answer, Mama Gina. And I can speak from personal experience, and those who are within my sphere, that it's a real blessing to have you in the community in so many ways. So, I'm going to even skip one of the questions we're going to do. But how can the IPMA help you to enhance your personal musical reality?
Wow, that's a mouthful. I think that pagan musicians are such strong individuals. We have to be. We don't have a choice. We are used to doing everything for ourselves because we don't have folks backing us on a mega level. We do everything ourselves, or we have to oversee everything ourselves. I mean, personally, I can't afford for anybody else to live under the Mama Gina umbrella. So I am my own booking agent. I am my own manager. I'm my own tour driver. You know, if my bus driver gets sick, I have to pull over and sleep for a while. You know, I can't hand the keys off to somebody else. I have to do all of my promo and marketing, and gods, I hate doing that stuff, but I have to do it. You know, I am my own producer. I have to separate myself out in the studio and really listen to what's going on and not get so close to the music that I lose sight of the goal. And I'm the singer-songwriter, and I'm the roadie. I'm moving my gear. You know what? What I hope that the IPMA can do for us is that I look forward to them creating more opportunities for us connecting with each other so that we can continue to support each other and we can grow in that way, so that maybe there will be some services eventually to help support the musicians in an affordable manner. And that's within the pagan community. I hope that they'll be able to help us reach out to the community. The other thing that I'd love for the IPMA to do, and I think that this is part of their hope too, is that we can put a face forward to the non-pagan community and say, look, mm-hmm. this music can touch everyone's lives, and you really need to listen. Because I think one of the things that happens, one of the biggest challenges for me as a pagan musician, is getting people to listen to something they've never heard before. Right. You know, once they hear the music, they get connected, they see you live or they hear something and they go, wow, that's great, and then they want to look it up. But getting people to listen to that first song by an artist they've never heard before is the hardest thing in the world. And that's one of my deepest hopes, is that the IPMA can finally put pagan music in a broader spotlight and say, look, we may call this pagan, it's because it's who we are, but this music touches all of us. And I'm looking forward to working with them over the next few years and watching this entire International Pagan Music Association grow by leaps and bounds.
That is our hope as well. And it is indeed that our desire as an organization to do all of those things and to facilitate that kind of growth for all the pagan musicians, and to show that, you know, using the moniker of the genre moniker of alternative music and saying that, well, you need to listen to this, general public, and this is not all about, you know, gods and goddesses. In a way, what this is about is your soul and your soul connections. And that is also, that is part of our hope and part of our mission as we grow. So, yay, we're kind of all on the same page, which is super duper. Okay. So, here
yes,
we go.
Yes, it is. Alignment is a good thing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Okay, here we go. If a person was only going to listen to one song of yours, which one would it be?
Oh, you're trying to get me to pick my children. You know what? I think that for pagans and non-pagans alike, because this song really, truly speaks to everyone. Sisters Waiting was a piece that I wrote a few years ago, and it was the first song that I ever stepped into the studio to record as Mama Gina, as a solo independent pagan artist, and it was the first song that I recorded for my first CD, Goddess Kissed. And Sisters Waiting was written for one of my spiritual grandmas who was crossing over. And it is not a sad song. It is a celebration of her life. And that's what all of this is about, is a celebration of life. So I guess if I had to put just one song in front of folks, I hope that that would be the song that they would listen to and connect with.
And it is an awesome song. It really is. And thank you for that. And I you know, as I think about it and hear what you were just saying, I think that that probably is one of the best songs, but I would also be really hard-pressed to pick one. But thank you for choosing that one. Okay, so what message do you want to share with those who will be hearing this interview?
Oh, probably the message that I try to share with everyone when I'm out touring and playing: be brave, be true. Seriously, figure out what you're passionate about, what you care about, and devote some of your time to that. Make it a priority. It doesn't have to be music, but make it something that you care about, and then don't hide it. Be brave and make that part of your face toward the world. You know, folks look at me and say, oh, you're so brave for quitting your day job and coming out on the road and doing this. And I'm thinking, I was more afraid to stay in that day job. But if you want to call this brave, then I'm going to call it brave too. Do something you love and share it with the world. That's the bottom line.
Wow, what an awesome message. Thank you for that, Gina. And I have one more question for you that...
Oh, okay.
There's something that you're doing now and bringing out that is outside but inside the Mama Gina moniker. Tell us a little bit about that project that you've just started that I am so incredibly excited about.
I'm excited too. I really am. So it's all fun and games until somebody loses a toe. I have an alter ego or a piece of my soul that's rejoining with me, whatever you want to call it. Nine Toes the Bard has emerged in the last 18 months, and she and I together in one skin have crafted 14 amazing songs. There's funny, there's sing-along, there is silly, there are some very sad and deep and moving songs, and there are some that are just downright naughty, because she is a bard. Nine Toes is a bard in the truest sense, where she really reaches across the entire range of emotion in human and divine experience. I am getting ready to go into the studio and record all 14 songs. There will be a 10-song CD and a 4-song EP. And if folks want to find out how to pre-order that CD, because I do need to pre-sell CDs in order to get the money to go into the studio, it will happen one way or the other. If I have to wash dishes and make, you know, minimum wage, I'll do it. But we are going into the studio. We're going to record these songs. And if I can pre-sell them, then I can raise the money to go into the studio, make a great sounding CD, and share this music with everyone. You'll get fabulous rewards. It's an Indiegogo campaign. And if you go to my website at Mama Gina Music, that's MAMAGINA music.com, there's a link right on the first page that can take you right to the campaign, and you can and read all about it. You can watch the videos, and you can choose to support this crazy musician and be one of the first people to get the Nine Toes the Bard CD.
Fantastic. We are so excited about that. And we at the IPMA will help you in every possible way that we can to get Nine Toes CDs out there. So, Mama Gina, I am so honored to be with you, and I thank you for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to spend this time with us. And I look forward to further conversations and the next time I see you. And I just love you to death, Gina. That's just the way it is. I just love you to death. And thank you for everything.
Alfred, it has absolutely been my pleasure. Thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. I'm looking forward to a great year.
Great. Thank you, Gina, again.